about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. Welcome back to Intravenous, everybody. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Robin.
And we are joined by...
I am Salo.
And today we're going to be talking a bit about the Consent Matters campaign that's at SFU by the, I'll let Silo actually introduce it rather than me.
Yeah, so this is a campaign made by the SVSPO, that's the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office here at SFU. So it's based by helping educate people at SFU and FIC. The whole office is run about supporting victims, providing workshops, events, and Consent Matters is one of them. It's been happening since 2016. And it's basically to like teach people around campus what consent is, why it is important, and how can we like explore and like talk more about consent in campus, in a campus context.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about basically all things consent and how it's important and what it actually means and what it looks like. But before we get into all of that, we're going to start with a song. And this song is called All My Friends by a band called Queen of Jeans off of their latest album, All Again. And they have a very interesting sort of style. It's very like 90s with a bit of 60s in it. So I definitely recommend that you'll check out their album.
Oh,
Welcome back to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Robin.
I'm Salo.
And we're going to get into a very interesting topic on consent today. So, Salo, could you tell us a bit about yourself, why you got involved with the SFU representative for the Consent Matters organization with SVSPO?
Yeah, so I started with the SVSPO as a volunteer last year for the, it's the Active Bystander Network. It used to be like a volunteer opportunity for students on campus to participate in events, support the office, and all that things. And I started with the Consent Matter campaigns actually this year, because last year it was done by like the office herself, themselves. So this is my first year doing something about the Consent Matters campaign, so that's really exciting for me. And I'm actually moderating this year, so I'm going to be talking with two different people. So Alexa Dodge, who is a research and assistant professor in criminology in Halifax, and Val Hathiraman, I hope I'm not butchering the last name, who's an advocate and support worker. So I'm more like in this year, just like there to like support them during their conversation and help them talk about the campaign this year. But I actually got started with the SVSPO because when I transferred from Douglas College, I was already working with the Consent Champions at college. It's basically the same idea. It's the office on campus that helps victims, has workshops, events. So when I got here and I met Paola, it was like COVID. She was doing a Zoom like club day or something crazy like that. So I met Paola and was like, oh, I didn't know like SFU also had like an office here. And she was like, oh, yeah, we're actually looking for volunteers. So and I was like, okay, I'm in. So that's basically how we got started, just by talking on Zoom during COVID. And like this year campaign is going to be all about online consent. So it's called Consent Beyond the Click. And it's mostly talking about, and I feel like this topic's not really talked about as much. So it's mostly if, like, pictures that you send to someone, even consensually, get leaked, or if they share them with, like, someone else. And I also have, like, been seeing this trend on TikTok a lot, when, like, people just, like take pictures with their iPads of their, like, Snapchat, like, other people send them, so they can, like, have, like, the screenshot, like, without them noticing, which I think is, like, really, like, bad in so many ways. Yeah. So, like, a point is surrounding that, like, what to do, how to get support. There's a new act in Canada that now says that like sending people's pictures, even if they send them consensually, is a crime in Canada now.
So that's
amazing that now they're doing that and they can like actually like track the source who like sent the first picture and like see where the picture has been, who sent it for the first time. So I think it's like a really like impressive move on Canada for like to do that. And we're also going to be talking about artificial intelligence, because I feel like now we have to like be more aware of like the dangers of it too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cases where people's like face have been put on videos or pictures that are not themselves, just like creating another body. But it's still your face, the one that is in the picture. So that's still about you. That's still like punished by the law in Canada. So that's basically all we're going to talk about during the campaign. And I don't want to give too much away, so I can leave the speakers like and the people who actually know about this like talk next Thursday about it. That's basically this year's campaign.
That's so incredible that I didn't know that there was actual like legislative action.
I mean, it's pretty new.
Yeah,
it came up like this year, so it's like pretty new.
Oh, yeah. Because I was going to say, it's like some of the stuff that we got taught in England, like they very briefly go in about how like you shouldn't share pictures or anything, but there was never like it's like against the law to do
it was like never like punished or like traced back
to or it's like it's too difficult to see where it came from, so you can't actually punish the person. But it's like they'll say, I think like the like phrase that people use back home is like, you can't send a picture without my consent if I'm in it. But it doesn't talk about like if a picture was sent consensually and then someone like passes it forward or keeps it on their phone but shows it around, like just their phone.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the important thing about like consent in general too. Like maybe it was consensual at that moment under those circumstances. That doesn't mean it's going to be consensual every other time. That doesn't mean it's going to be consensual for you to like save it on your phone, like to like show it to a friend. Like it was like consensual during that specific moment in that specific time. So I think that's really important to know about like consent and how it works, especially.
I think that's one of the most confusing aspects about consent, actually, is because it is sort of moment to moment, right? And that negotiation between what is okay right now in the now versus what was okay 5 minutes ago or what might be okay half an hour from now is shifty. And, you know, it's based on comfort and feeling and, you know, how and where things are going or have gone or, you know, whatever. And that I think that there's this idea that once we've said either yes or no to something, that we're kind of locked into that
decision,
right? And that we can't change our mind without appearing like we don't know our own mind or whatever.
And like that's actually one of the things we talk, well, the people talk about the last year Consent Matters campaign. So it's called Consent Matters Beyond the Binaries. So it's like yes, no, and everything in between. Like, what's there between, like, the yes and the no, the maybes, the, like, reasons why someone is saying yes? Maybe it's, like, power dynamics. Or maybe they feel, like, frustrated. Or, like, why, like, the yes is a yes at that moment and what's everything around it, too. So if it's a really interesting conversation that they had last year, like, you can find the video at the SVSPO webpage. And it's basically that, like, why people say yes, why people say no, why they wouldn't have their, like, honest answer, like, at that moment. All the things that, like, influence themselves. And, like, even the fact that, like, if it was yes 5 minutes ago, or like, if it was yes to, like, I know, a kiss, or, like, hugging, or things like that, like, why would it be yes to, like, everything else? Like, it's not. Like, you say yes to, like, one specific thing, that doesn't mean you will say yes to, like, every other step that comes after that. And I think that's a really important conversation to have. I don't think it's something that people talk much either about. Consent should be ongoing. So, like, even, like, if it seems annoying for some people, like, that's the way it has to be. Like, you have to, like, say yes, like, every step of the way. It's not, like, a one-time thing that you say and, like, now, okay, this is yes forever. This is yes forever with you, and this is the only way we're going to do it. No, it's just, like, every step of the way, just, like, keep checking on. Make sure there is an honest yes, that they're not being frustrated because, like, they're tired of, like, the questions. So you're like, okay, yes, let's do it. So let's make sure that, like, it's consensual, it's enthusiastic, and it's actually an honest yes that you're getting.
And I think as well, that's where you get kind of hazy with people understanding how it's non-consensual when it's like almost coerced and like coercive control during consent. That a lot of people don't, like, it's a misunderstanding of like what counts as coercive and what counts as not.
Yeah.
Like what counts as like they're being persuaded to say yes and when they're like not. Because then for like victims, they always feel like, well, I did say yes, but it's like, but the circumstances before means that you weren't, it wasn't you making that decision. It was you being coerced into making that decision.
Yes.
Because then they feel like, well, nothing actually happened to me because I said yes, I gave consent. And I think that's such a tricky, it's a tricky concept to, like, get your head around of, like, what behaviors can count as coercive and what's not. And I think as well, like, a lot of people don't realize they're being coercive sometimes. Or, like, they say, like, oh, like, it was just jokey and stuff like that. And it's like, well, was it?
Yeah.
Like, really? And I think as well, because, like, consent's such a, it's such a, like, multi-dimensional entity.
Yes.
I don't know of a better way of, like, putting it. But it's so, there's so many things that go into it. And I remember, like, back in when I had like sex ed and we were taught about consent. It was not what it is like today when you like research about it. It's like as like the years go on, more gets at like informed about it, yeah. And you start realizing, wow, okay, so it's a lot more than me just like saying yes or no.
Yeah,
like there's so much more that's around it.
And also the thing that like I don't think many people like, not that I don't know, but like they don't realize doing an activity is like if you say yes, you can always say no, like in the middle of it, like. Mm-hmm. The yes is not like a contract. It's not something you have to like fulfill now. Like mm-hmm. if you say yes and then you're like, okay, never mind, I'm not ready, I don't want this or I don't like this anymore, just like say like no. And mm-hmm. the other person like shouldn't have to respect that. So it's a thing to like the yes is not a contract. It's not something you have to like fulfill or like have mm-hmm. to do like because you say yes before. That's not it at all.
Mm. It's not like you've like signed in blood.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's it. Done.
So that's the easy way out.
Yeah. So could you maybe shed some light a bit on like what consent means and like the many ways it can be expressed? I mean, we have touched upon it a bit, mm-hmm. but like the all of the many ways it can sort of be expressed.
And I feel like we talk a lot, and we were talking about the tea video before too.
Yeah.
So we've, I think we should touch on that like later too. But I feel like one thing that I usually like to talk about is how to show consent in the daily life, and especially with like small kids, because people like think about consent and they feel like about like sexual intercourses that they forget about everything else in daily life that needs consent. And I heard this like really nice example when they were teaching about consent in a kindergarten, I think, and they were saying, okay, this is my pen. And, like, I'm using it. And, like, if someone comes and asks for it, like, and I say, no, okay, that's fine. That's my pen. And I don't have, like, they don't have to push me to, like, give the pen to them, even if they need a red pen. And I have one and they have a blue one. Like, you know, it's, like, really simple. Like, okay, say no, this pen is mine. I'm going to use it right now. If I want to give it to you, I will, but I don't want to. And about the archetype, okay, if they say no, the pen is theirs, you don't have to, like, take it from them.
Mm.
Like, you wait for your time if the time comes. Or you're trying to find your own pen. Like, it's a really, like, simple example on how consent works in a daily life. And it can be translated to so many things. And also, I feel like I was listening to the Consent Beyond Binaries today, too. And they were talking about, like, hugging, for example. And, like, I'm from Argentina. So it's, like, a culture that, like, really is really touchy. And we hug all the time. And we kiss in the cheek all the time. We're, like, really, like that, especially within the family. And I think it's as simple as, like, if you go to a family gathering, or, like, with friends, and someone comes, like, and right and hugs you, it's like, okay, wait, like, I don't need a hug right now. Like, I don't want your hug right now. And it's the fact, like, understanding that, like, I'm not rejecting your love. I'm not rejecting you as a family member or friend. It's just, like, I don't want a hug right now. Or, like, I don't want your hug right now. Maybe I want to hug someone else. So it's, like, I think that, like, lives with us in the daily. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we, like, sometimes forget to talk about it in that sense, too. Like, we can say no to a hug. We can say no to, like, a pen. We can say no to tea, for example, talking about that video. It doesn't always have to translate to the sexual ambient, but it's good to translate it to that when we have simple examples of the pen, the tea, or, like, a hug.
Mm. And I think as well, if you're explicitly, like, exhibiting those in daily life to young kids,
mm-hmm.
that's going to translate easier when they get older.
Yeah, it's
going to understanding and being like, oh, well, yeah, like, that's obvious. That's what we do, like, all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Type of thing. And as well, the like, not having to give a justification mm-hmm. as to why you're saying no.
Yeah.
Like, you can give a justification if you want to, but it's to not be like, I have to now justify why I'm saying no to the pen.
Yeah, like, no is a whole sentence, as it is. Like,
yeah.
You say no, dot, okay, that's it, that's my sentence, yeah. And I don't have to explain myself to you, like.
And I feel like for women in particular, women always feel like they need to have to justify
mm-hmm.
everything they're doing, or, like, to have a reason for, like, why something's happened. There's always has to be a justification.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, like, wired into our brains that we have to justify what we're doing and why we're doing it.
And that can be frustrating, too, because, like, sometimes you don't even know why you don't want something. Maybe you just don't feel it in your body. Maybe you're, like... Because even, like, if you're with a partner and, like, you don't feel like doing anything that day and you don't know how to justify it to yourself, you're like, okay, I don't know why I feel this way. Just, like, feel it. And I don't know how to express it. And you're, like, the other person should understand. Like, I don't have a reason. I just, like, don't don't feel it in my body to do anything right now. Just go with it.
Yeah,
it
like
is what
just
it
a
is.
Feeling.
Yeah, I just feel it in my body.
Like, it's just be like, I'm just really tired, and I just feel like, no.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, literally. I'm like talking about the tea video, just in case there are people listening that have no idea what this tea video is. The tea video is, it's a main education resource that was created by the Thames Valley Police in England. I hadn't actually realized until talking to Silo that it's known over here a bit as well. But it's this little cartoon animated video that's on YouTube, and it talks about consent in regard to giving someone a cup of tea. And it goes like, if someone is asleep, you're not going to pour the cup of tea down their throat. It's like, if someone said yes to a cup of tea last Saturday, that doesn't mean they want tea every single day. They don't want you showing up at their door unannounced for a cup of tea. And it just talks about it in that way, and you see like how ridiculous it sounds. And then at the end it goes, if it's so ridiculous for all of these scenarios with tea, why is it so hard to understand that when it comes to sex?
Yeah.
And it's such a clever way, I think, of presenting consent as like understanding what it means for young people, because it's humorous, because you're like laughing at this cartoon stick man pouring a cup of tea down someone, and you're like, yeah, that's so stupid, like why would you do that? And then when it like it says, well, if this is so stupid, why would you do it with sex? It's like, oh yeah, like it makes it like a connection and a click in your brain. But I was actually seeing, when I was looking to see if it actually come over here, was known over here, I found some backlash against it because people saying it oversimplifies consent. So I wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I was actually like reading about that because there's an article at the SVSPO webpage about the tea video, seeing how good it is, but also how bad it is in certain ways. And I think that, like, I agree with some of the points. It's the oversimplification of saying, like, it's not always a yes or a no. And I think it's, like, a little bit of what we were talking before. Like, if your boss, like, offers you tea, you're less likely to say no because, like, your job may depend on it. You don't want to be disrespectful. Like, there's so many, like, way, like, things that, like, will make you say yes even if you don't want a tea, just because you want to be, like, respectful towards the other person, like, because you're afraid. So I feel like they talk a lot about that. And they also talk about, like, in this article, and I think, like, I also agree with this, is they oversimplify the fact of, like, making tea in a way. Like, it's saying, like, oh, they're showing, like, tea as, like, this, like, simple thing to do, to make. It's just, like, put the tea back, put water, and that's it. And for some cultures, that's not it. Like, there's, like, so many steps before, and I think that just, like, to, like, sex, too. There's so many things before the tea, before you drink the tea, that, like, you can say yes or no to. Like, even, like, oh, do you want sugar in your tea? And I say no. It's like, oh no, like, have it with sugar. It's better with sugar. Like small things like that. Like, there's so many adds on into tea that can translate into sex, and so many like steps before the tea that can translate into sex that are really important to like talk about. And I think that's like the backlash that it was getting. I actually agree with that. Like, I think the video is like really good, but I also think it needs to be like accompanied by like so many other talks. Like, it should be like a talk starter and not like the whole education. In a way, it should be like a thing that you put like as an introduction, and then like you open the conversation about it. You talk about like the steps before, the steps after, like all the things that you add to a tea that like you maybe not be okay with, all the things that you want to add to the tea that maybe other person is not okay with. So if it's mostly that, like, it should be used as an introductory topic or like as a conversation opener, and not as the whole idea of like, okay, this is consent. This video is ridiculous, doing this is ridiculous, don't do it. Like, I think there should be, like, so much more around it to make it, like, make sense and actually get the whole hint of, like, what consent is and how it should work, too.
Yeah, like, it's a good... I find it's, like, a good starting point to, like, how you said, like, get the conversation going, especially because when you show it to kids, you're going to get kids engaged with it just by the layout and how it's presented.
Yeah.
So it's a good way of getting kids to... like, young people get into the conversation of consent. With the oversimplification of it, I was thinking, like, in the context of it only, like, drunken consent. Because the tea video talks a bit about if, like, it says, like, if someone's unconscious, don't force feed them tea.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you can understand that in terms of, like, drunkenness, but it doesn't touch upon, and I think one thing as well that people struggle particularly now to understand is that the minute someone has alcohol in their system and they're drunk or they're tipsy or anything, they can't actually give consent. Mm-hmm. And like, there's so many cases of people being like, well, she said yes and stuff, and she's like, but I was drunk. Like, I don't remember saying
yeah,
yes.
That yes is not a yes. Like,
yeah. And there's not much conversation being had on like how alcohol or drugs or any substance can impair your judgment. Mm-hmm. And you may not even remember saying yes, but you may not have been unconscious.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you're getting like the gray area from the video. Like, it doesn't talk about, well, what if they had like, they weren't feeling like themselves or something. Yeah. It's just like, if they're unconscious, don't do it. Almost thing. And it's like, you're seeing it. Like, there's, I looked at a survey in British Columbia, and it was saying that there was alcohol reported as a factor in 44% of police reported sexual assault cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's just the ones that are reported to the police.
Yeah.
And that's already a huge number. And that survey was from last year. And I was like, I think that maybe has something to do with alcohol and substance involvement mm-hmm. with consent isn't taught about enough and isn't spoken about enough.
Yeah.
Particularly with young people, because you're getting introduced to all of that when you're turning like 18. It's like a door's unlocked and it's like, alcohol is now allowed in your life.
And you're like out of your house, like you're maybe like studying on campus, like in another place in the country. So like, yeah. You're like vulnerable in so many ways too. Like, you're not like, even like international students, they're like kilometers away from their homeland, like not like even speaking the language sometimes. And you get introduced to like this new whole world. Like, how do you deal with that?
Mm. And it's like, I know, like back in England, when you go to university, majority of people will go far enough away from home that they're living on campus. Mm-hmm. It's kind of rare to have someone commuting to uni, which I know is different here at SFU. Yeah. You get a lot more commuters than people that are actually living here. And like, that freedom that you feel going into like first year of uni away from home. And I know back home, like, alcohol is much easier to get a hang of, and there's a big clubbing culture. So you're getting thrown into a lot of stuff, freshly turned 18, and it's like, there isn't an education on it.
Yeah.
And everyone's like so confused, and there's so many stories back home of like people like, oh, I don't know, like, we were drunk, like, I said yes, so like, yeah. It's fine. And then they just brush it past, and there's so many people that just brush it past, and it's like, the only thing that my university does is they have this quiz that you have to take before going on and before you're allowed to buy tickets for a night out.
Okay.
And it's called a don't be a dick quiz. And you have to pass it, like, get all of it right. And it's talking about like, you shouldn't do this, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. But I'm like, people will know what the right answer is. That's not necessarily going to stop them.
But the crazy thing is, like, some people don't. Like,
yeah.
Some people, I feel like some staff are okay. Yeah, they won't realize what they are saying is wrong, too. Mm. And that's, like, what is crazy to me, too. Like, they don't even realize, like, what the right answer is, even if it's, like, so obvious.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because it's like, you can, what's, I think it should be like, you should only be able to take the quiz a certain number of times. You can take it an infinite number of times. So it's, yeah, like, even if you fail it like 10 times, you can still take it and get tickets. So I'm like,
no, switch the questions,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, like, I was like, that's a bit worrying.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they're getting all of these questions wrong, they're going to, like, eliminate to find the right answer. And it's like, but they don't know why that's the right answer. And it's like, but why did they think the wrong answers were the right answer?
Yeah, and I feel like one thing like we did like last year too, like during like, yeah, I think it was like close to Halloween, we did like a list. It was like kind of like a bookmark with a list of like things to do before going out.